listening to Down by the Bank, a Jacksonville Jaguars podcast with Corey, Derek, and JK3.
All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, affiliated with the Blue Wire Podcast Network. This is Corey.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
All right, so we're recording after the Jaguars lost to the Rams, 37-7. Jags are now 2-10. No one's fired. Urban Meyer might be going to Oregon. I'm just kidding. I think I saw somebody tweeting something about that. But either way, not a lot's changed week over week.
He doesn't know a lot either. He has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. So before we run into all that, first quick update on the saxophone man effort, working
Benjamin
on the
Purdy.
Benjamin Purdy. Yeah, I need to start just using his name. Quit calling him saxophone man. That's terrible.
Yes, Benjamin Purdy.
Well, apparently, Derek, you were talking about this. People say that, reiterating this from some of the tweets that we got, that he's out and about downtown all the time. You mentioned the Sip and Stroll, some other events. If anybody is able to grab his contact information or make contact and connect him with us, that would be great, because we have not had success with that yet. But I think we're going to be on the ground trying to maybe make contact in some capacity, hopefully soon. But Derek, I think you mentioned that you had a friend maybe or a family member that saw him out there recently.
Yeah, around the Times Union Center. So we're going to get him. We'll get in touch with him, because we'd really like to do something at the next home game. And, just show his appreciation, because, after we take L after L after L after L after L, he is continuing to entertain us with his musical talent. So that to me is just, that's what it's all about, man. We just, as a fan base, we do things like that. So we, definitely want to show our appreciation to him.
And shout out to everyone too, that, on the Twitter and the GoFundMe, man, that, that donated like 5, 10, whatever you donated, even the thank you notes, man, it's the holidays. So, shout out to everybody that, even was considerate enough to donate, considerate enough to retweet it, considerate enough to like whatever you guys did to get that word out and compile, man. It was awesome. And I for one, my phone was blowing up, but I didn't care, because it was just awesome to see that so many people, recognized Ben, but then also so many people had like awesome memories of either it was seeing him when you were a kid, seeing him now, or just recognizing who he was and recognizing him for his talent. So, it's definitely something that, that's really awesome. And if you didn't donate to the GoFundMe on your way to the game or on your way back from the game, man, make sure you drop something in there, man, for him in this case.
The crazy part is too, reading the some of the tweets and the historical tweets. Remember the one about the landing where someone said that they worked at the landing 25 years ago and they hired him
wild
for some type of event. And he was like, he's still out there. The person didn't even live in Jacks anymore, but they remember working at the landing 25 years ago and hiring him for an event. So that's like the, obviously mid-90s. So think about the historical perspective of how long that's been, how long Mr. Purdy's been out and about doing this. And so as a fan base, we should thank him and especially, being the holidays. And I wish, Jags PR and all that, man, we try not to bash the team. It's very hard not to. Okay. But when we talk about culture of fan base, all right, our token of what we've done is just on the same level of others within the fan base that have done things, whether if it's books for children, for a teacher, that happened. Let's put it out there. Edila put a link out and a teacher needed some books because of the culture of the fan base, the following that they have over there at Bold City. He's able to get it done. Things like that. And we're together because of a team. So we do these types of things. And how does the team return the favor? With this crap. Every Sunday. straight up. There's been others I can't think of them right now because I get so ticked off because we sit here and we buy our season tickets and we go to the game and we lug our 300-pound Traeger into our pickup trucks, JK3, or, you know, take our families and our cars to the game. And they come out and put that crap on the field. And then they turn around and pull out some BS lies at the podium. Okay. Lies. Okay. Yeah. Lies. So that's what really gets me going. You know, forget the specifics and all, you know, specifics and the team and all the receivers that can't get open. No, as a fan base, we're actually pretty strong. We're very strong. But not, you know, we don't get the love back because they just either don't know, don't care, or just, you know, worried about all the other projects around the stadium instead of worrying about the main project that should be going on between the sidelines.
So the plan this week is to get the gift card potentially, work on the thank you card. If you haven't sent that in, at least by Sunday, try to have in your thank you note, even if you haven't contributed to the GoFundMe. The GoFundMe is closed. You can't contribute to that anymore. But again, that's kind of the artificial deadline, because if it's not in by Sunday, I probably can't get it printed on there. But ideally, if we make contact, we'll try to get in contact with him. We'll try to put something out on the Twitter page so folks that want to be there when it gets presented to him can be there and be part of that. And that's why we're trying to make contact, just to make sure that we can coordinate it somewhat with him so we're not completely ambushing the guy and freaking him out by hundreds of people showing up around him all at once. Okay, so L.A., tell us about the stadium, the everything from going in to the security, to the food, to the experience. Like, what was the overall takeaways?
Yeah. So overall, man, SoFi, if you get a chance, and if you, I mean, I don't know when the Jags are going to play in LA again, probably when they play the Chargers again, but every Jaguars fan should make that trip to LA. One, from a aesthetic view and ecstatic, like being inside, it's insane. Like, it is nothing there. Nothing compares to it with where the stadium is located. It's located in, you know, not the best part, but the Rams are building from the inside out. And what I mean by that is they're building a product on the field. They're building a outstanding stadium. And then they're building slowly around the Inglewood area. You know what I mean? So they're building from the inside out. They're making people want to come into, you know, this area that a lot of people and a lot of Los Angelinos don't come into, which is in the Inglewood area, and building on the outside, you know, from the inside out. I thought that the stadium overall, man, like, it's just unbelievable. Not very bad price either, as far as, you know, beers and things like that goes. I think I paid like $11 for a beer, which I was expecting way more. This is after I bought beer in the parking lot. So that was cool
too. For children.
I don't think they were children to me, but they weren't actually children. They had to be at least 21 to buy it, right?
I mean, remember I told you, I thought it was similar to when, remember I told you I went to that festival in New York and it was like, I think it was literally kids that were selling like beers and stuff. So
they had at least graduated high school. So,
okay, well, that's good, I guess. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
But it was, so as far as like the food goes, very, LA, very, I would say there was a mix of what I would call, like, what I would expect in LA. You know, I would expect, you know, a lot of Tex-Mex, since, you know, where it is. I would expect, you know, just some different, you know, food options as far as like, you know, steak, chicken, things like that. Their beers, they had Bud Light, they had Modelo, you know, it's pretty much, they were very in, what I'm trying to say is they were very in tune to their culture and what their fans consume. You know, you didn't see a lot of, you know, Stella's. I mean, there were Stella's, excuse me. You didn't see a lot of like craft beers. You didn't see a lot of things that their fans weren't going to drink. Everything from the food to the, even the hype music was all LA themed, LA vibes. And they have a really good pulse on what their fans are looking for. Like, even to the point of the music that they're playing in the arena, you know, they're not playing everyone else is like, they're not playing, you know, White, or excuse me, they're not playing Meek Mill or any of these other, or Drake or any of these other, like, you know, hyped up songs. They're playing like Tupac. They're playing YG. They're playing Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're playing, you know, people from LA. Like, they're playing LA music, and it's one of the, it was one of the coolest things, you know, that, and I guess Jacksonville doesn't really have, you know, world renowned artists like Tupac and, you know, Snoop Dogg and, you know, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We have Limp Bizkit,
you know, but look, I mean, but honestly, dude, if they played, no, look, if they played, real talk, if they played on First Down, if they played Keep Rolling by Limp Bizkit, that would be great. I would love that, because even though as lame as Limp Bizkit, not lame, but even though Limp Bizkit is as old as it is, I mean, you're talking about, they're playing Red Hot Chili Peppers, they're playing California Love, they're playing what's the Tupac song, Derek? I can't deny it. I'm a, you know, Ambitions as a Rider. They're playing that. Rider,
yeah.
That song is literally from the 90s. It is 2021, and they're playing that song. Every time a big play happened, it was something that had to do with, I mean, when James Robinson fumbled the ball, it was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Give it away, give it away, give it away. Like, that song is old. That song is so old, you know? So they are in tune to their culture, what they do in LA. You know, but overall, it was an awesome experience from a fan base, from a fan perspective, a ton of Jaguars fans.
Really?
A ton. Hmm. There was, at one point when the Jags were still in it, when first quarter, I believe it was when they gave up the field goal. They gave up the field goal. There was people chanting defense, and the Rams fans had to boo to drown out the defensive chants. That's how many people were there. That's cool. I saw way more Jaguars fans than I expected. You know, I saw way more Jags fans out, like in the Santa Monica area. We went out to Santa Monica Pier, down Hollywood Boulevard, met up with a couple of Jags fans that were on Twitter as well. So we were deep. I even met a guy who sat front row with us, the front row of that end zone. If the Jaguars would have scored, it would have been on national TV, and it would have changed the narrative, because you had an entire, maybe like 10 people on the front row that were Jacksonville Jaguars fans, that, you know, maybe four of us were from Jacksonville, but the other six, one guy was from Phoenix, Arizona, born and raised in Arizona, Jaguars fan. There was one guy that was from, I think Tahoe, California, who was a Jaguars fan. They came out there. I met another guy from Utah that was a Jaguars fan, and I met somebody else from Washington that was a Jaguars fan. So they came to see the team play, and they had no affiliation and ties to Jacksonville, no family or anything else like that that live in Jacksonville. They are just Jaguars fans from whatever brought them to be a Jaguars fan, which is wild.
That's cool.
Yeah. Like, that's super, like, insane. So, you know, it was pretty hype for the first, I would say, 5 minutes, but then after that, you know, after the James Robinson fumble, which, seeing that live, dude, Aaron Donald is unbelievable. Like, that is one of the, I think he's an X-Men. I'm not gonna lie to you. Like, he would be somebody hiding in plain sight, and he would be a superhero, and he'd be a football player. I thought the Jalen Ramsey stuff was just super amplified because of obviously the history, and rightfully so. But overall, man, it was awesome seeing, you know, a bunch of Jags fans, awesome experience in LA and going to an away game. And I encourage every Jaguars fan, if you are a Jaguars fan, make the pilgrimage to an away game. I don't care if it is to Tennessee, Houston, LA. I mean, yeah, LA would be great. Indy, anytime the Jags, and you got the opportunity to go see your team away, you know, it just hits different. It's just awesome to go cheer for your team in another stadium. I wouldn't go to Philly. I wouldn't go to, you know, some of the other hostile environments or anything else like that. But, you know, to really show your fanhood, man, you got to get out there and see it, that we actually do have Jaguars fans outside of Duval County. And it's awesome to run into them. You know, everyone is trying to fight the same fight, and, you know, everyone, it honestly, it just makes your fanhood stronger when you actually go and see them play in another city And it makes you really appreciate, you know, being around the Jaguars fans when you're home.
Were the LA fans respectful?
Oh man, they were cool. I mean, and I think it's because you know, if you carry yourself in a certain way, like you're proud to be a Jaguars fan, or if you're proud to be a fan, people got to respect that. You know, I know that whenever, you know, where we sit, if we go to, you know, Corey, you and I go to Jaguars games all the time. We see opposing fans, you know, every game.
Yes.
And so, of course, I always give a little, you know, stuff here and there about them coming to Jacksonville. But then I'm like, dude, that's pretty cool that you came to the game. You know, let's have a good time and let's talk a little smack and everything. But, you know, you're not going to get punched or anything else like that. And that's what it was in L.A. When I went to L.A., man, there was my wife and I were going to get some drinks. And, you know, we had a couple guys. And it was and like anyone that's from L.A. that's listening to this, I apologize. But it was literally like one of those. I felt like it was a stereotypical LA. Oh, yo, man, you from Jacksonville? Like, what's up? Like, what are you doing out here? And it was awesome. I was like, yeah, I'm from Jacks. And he was like, oh, that's much respect, you know, and everything. And then going to the bathroom at the end of the fourth quarter, of course, I got it. Whereas people were like, oh, man, it smells like cat piss in here because there's a Jaguar in here. And it's like, oh, that was a good one. Yeah, it was actually really good. And you know, laughing along with them and all that kind of stuff. But then towards the middle, I would say the halftime, I went in and there were a couple of rowdy Rams fans that were there. And the same guys that I walked into the bathroom, one of the guys was like, man, I think you're lost. And then a couple guys that I met prior to were like, no, man, you're lost. This is our boy from Duval. Like, go piss and leave him alone. And like, so it was, I mean, it was cool, man. You know, I wasn't like worried for my life or anything else like that, but it wasn't anything that I wouldn't do to an opposing fan.
Yeah. So they bullied you a little bit in the bathroom, though. That's a little scary. It was. Ew. Why are they even talking to you? I hate when people talk to me in the bathroom.
I was doing that to my friend Joey that I went to the game with, like, so people didn't know that we were together. And so I'd walk into the bathroom and be like, hey man, how about that flight in? and just make it very awkward, you know, and it's funny, but LA, I will say that anyone that has been to LA will know that it is probably the best city for people watching that I've ever seen in my entire life. Like I could literally sit on Hollywood Boulevard with a bottle of whiskey and just watch, and it'd be the best thing ever. I mean, you've got like, and this is the Hollywood Walk of Fame where you see like Bruce Lee, Michael Jackson, Boyz II Men, you know, Streisand, Richard Gere, all these crazy names. And then like you look up, it's like homeless person. And then you got like homeless person with mental issues, homeless person that is strung out on something, Spider-Man. And then
what?
yeah, right. It's the craziest thing ever, man. Spider-Man, then you got somebody like cooking street food, like Mexican street food, and then Wonder Woman, and then the card trick guys, pick a card, any card, like all that kind of stuff. So all in all, man, I would say that the you know, going there so far is probably, you know, 13 out of 10. Definitely gotta make the trip if the Jags are there. And I think one of the Rams fans that I was talking to, he had went to Vegas and saw the Raiders' new stadium, and he said the Raiders' new stadium is very, very, very up there with SoFi. So I think if the Jags do play in Las Vegas, you know, next year, I think that'll be a hot ticket for, you know, anybody going or anybody wanting to go to an away game.
Okay, maybe we'll have to coordinate something like that. That'd be fun.
Especially Blue Wire, look it up. Blue right, Wire, come on.
Blue Wire Studios out there. So
hook it up.
To do a live. Maybe that, I mean, that sounds like a pretty cool idea. We should do that. Okay, so Derek, he referenced the James Robinson, and we won't dive too much into the Rams game because it's, you know, later in the week. But the James Robinson piece is interesting because I know you had mentioned seeing the clip of the interview with the, I think it was Dan Hicken. Was it Martineau? Is that who he does that show with at Sneakers?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they asked him about, you know, getting benched and all that fun stuff. And he didn't seem super enthusiastic. So being that he's our best player, how concerning is that?
Man, I told y'all, man. Herb's a straight up liar, man. He's a straight up liar when things don't go his way. Okay. And he ain't winning, so things ain't going his way. Well, I don't watch the touches that lead that up to the offensive coordinator. Then why is Robinson getting benched every time he fumbles? You don't watch the touches. You lying. Okay. There's no need to overanalyze it. You a liar. All right. You punish him. Okay. You play your guys. Okay. You and Dan Mullen got the same problem. You play your guys. And yeah. Mullen got X. So let's go ahead and finish you off too. Okay. Yep. And I'm not a Gator fan, and I felt bad for Gator fans for that running back that was running all over FSU. Why he wasn't in the game? Same thing with James Robinson. Why is he not in the game? Okay, but y'all just do dumb stuff. Back to the Jags, you just can't sit there week after week and just make up some stuff. Instead of being a football coach, you should write short stories. Okay, some like some fable stuff, some fake, because that's what you're good at. You're good at telling some lying behind stories, man. Because as far as just anything related to the Jags right now, you just don't either you don't know, don't care, or can't figure it out, or you just ain't the right person for the job. I done told everybody already. The courtship was nice, marriage, divorce is gonna be ugly. All right. We're in the second step of the divorce process right now. We need to go ahead and finish it off. Bulky, you can be wrapped up in that too. You can go to, you did not build the 49ers. Okay. You just happened to get there when they got good. All right. So that's how you got your little 3 years of fame when y'all went to the Super Bowl. You didn't build that team. Okay. And you were associated with the last regime. Okay? They need to burn it up, burn it from the ground up, and start over. Okay.
I feel like we need to put some ether behind that.
Yeah.
You know, that ether beat.
Yeah. 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 Man, I'm not even gonna start. I'm not even gonna start. Burn it up and start over. Okay, that's where I'm at, because that's pitiful. We got our star starting running back sitting in some sports bar with local news guys answering questions. Everybody knows the stinking answer to. Everybody knows what he's gonna, you know, what he has to say in his mood. All right, and then you know you got our quarterback trying to defend it, even if he did go to the coaches and say, hey, look, we got to have him in the game. They're not good. They don't care. I bet you by the second series against Tennessee, we're going to see Carlos Hyde. Okay. No.
But I mean, no. I mean, shout out to Trevor, though. I mean,
out to him. Yeah. But no, I don't like he shouldn't have had to. Why did he have to do that? He had to do it to show some leadership of the team. But it's like, our rookie quarterback has more sense than our coaches.
Well, it's because Urban doesn't have any ties to James Robinson. Urban inherited James Robinson, and he has a relationship with Carlos Hyde, which explains why he brings in Tebow. He brings in Carlos Hyde. He's bringing in – I'm surprised – I'm surprised he hasn't brought in, you know, Terrell Pryor. I'm surprised he hasn't brought in, you know, anybody from the Ohio State team. But the thing about it is, man, it's terrible. It's not good. It's not good that you got your offense, or you got your, you know, the most valuable player on offense answering the tough questions to Dan Hicken and Brent Martineau. And then you're coming back into the office, or as far as Urban goes, no one can get their story straight. Everybody's lying. It goes from Urban to, you know, oh, well, I don't control the carries. Parmalee does. And then they try to get Parmalee up there, and Parmalee is not available to the media this week, but they've got Daryl Bevel up there getting his lines crossed up. He's like, oh, yeah, well, nah, Urban knows when things are happening. And it's like, all right, who's lying? And you got the main running back coach who they're throwing the crap on, and they're not making him available to the team because he's not going to sit there and take that.
Yeah.
Bevel says that I want to establish a ground game and then build a passing game off that. How do you build that by running a two-back system and not letting your main running back thrive and your main running back grind. This dude does not take losses. And again, the Aaron Donald play was just, he would have done that to anybody. It's Aaron freaking Donald.
Yeah.
It's Aaron Donald. He is literally the best defensive player in the league. It's Aaron Donald. This is somebody who your team has to scheme for and try to triple team. This guy is a beast, and he shot that gap. He knew where the play was going. He ate James Robinson for lunch, and that's what's going to happen when he does that. You don't run somebody out of the game. You don't sit them on the bench for the third until the third quarter because he got ate up by a monster. It makes no sense for you to do that.
Yeah.
Beverly, you're lucky he didn't get a clean shot on Trevor. That's what you should be happy about that.
Yeah.
You should be happy that, you know, you kept the pocket moving away and that you didn't let Von Miller or anybody else get a free crack at him.
Bevel should really, you would think that after losing a Super Bowl in the fashion that he did as an OC, you would think that he would be more leaning towards running the ball. But because of the fact that he's, you know, let's be real here. He's arrogant. He's arrogant. Okay. I've never met him, but you can just tell, you know, in his eyes, this is the way I see it. And this is the way it's going to be. Well, guess what? Your way does not work. Okay. It doesn't work. It didn't work on second and goal at the one with Marshawn Lynch. All right. Whatever it was. And it's not working with this split back set with James Robinson and Carlos Hyde. Now, if Herbs is making you play, you know, Carlos Hyde 50-50, then quit. Because that means that you guys don't have a philosophical alliance if you don't think that's the case. But you do. So you're responsible too. So that tells they got to go. They have to go because you can't do that in the National Football League, meaning you can't have your best offensive weapon and you're hindering him just as much as the defense by not getting him into rhythm, by not, you know, well, first of all, no, not confidence. Okay. That's how you shake a player's confidence. You're not getting them into rhythm. And then you're giving the defense an upper hand. So, it's been spun so many times by so many different outlets and shows and journalists and reporters asking questions, trying to figure something out. You know, oh, we had a good week of practice. Okay. In that good week of practice, are we going to be promised that James Robinson's going to get 20 to 25 touches? Carlos Hyde can get 10 touches. I don't care. But he should not be getting more touches than James Robinson. And there's no way on planet Earth, unless James Robinson ran for 60 yards, Carlos Hyde should not be in when it counts. And when I mean by when it counts, third down. Okay.
My favorite thing is when they line up LaVishka in the backfield and they actually give him the ball. It's like, really? Like you can't line him up. And I mean, I want him to get all the touches that he can to create more space and opportunity too. But it's like, You give him the ball right when he comes in. You don't give him any kind of decoy. You don't give anything where he can kind of mix matches or anything else like that. And I mean, a lot of people too are talking about separation. I just watched in the first half of a Minnesota Vikings and Pittsburgh Steelers game where Kirk Cousins threw the ball to Justin Jefferson and actually tried to go for it when he was double covered twice. I don't miss me with that separation stuff. This is the NFL. This is the elite of the elite. Like, getting separation is great, but you have to throw the ball downfield. You cannot be scared to not, you know, take a shot or take an opportunity to throw it because it's man on man. It's receiver on receiver. And someone's going to have to step up and make a play. They really are. And I don't know if that's coming from and Bevel, if he's the person that's calling these plays and he's the, you know, the core of this issue, or if Urban's the core issue of it, whatever. I need a body by the end of the season. Someone's got to go. Whether it's either Urban or Bevel, someone bulky, someone has to go. They got
position coaches that are taking OC jobs in college. That just came through on the Twitter feed. That happened today. Who? One of our
Dax coaches.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I saw that. One of
they
them
got 30 of them, so we can spare one.
Yeah. So it's definitely going to come. I hope it comes in waves, where we have a lot of different guys just decide, you know what, it's time for me to go. It's really time for me to go. But it's extremely tough because they're trying to, you know, fit that square peg into a round hole, and it's just not working, man. So you got to change it up. You got to reinvent yourself. What's the definition of insanity? Okay, we all know it, and we still continue to do it as a team. So they got to figure it out, and they need to be gone. Okay, you know, whether if you got, you know, Urban Meyer to UCLA or Oregon, or even if he stays, I just think that they need to, like, the leash on this needs to be very short. And I wish it was short after Sunday. It's probably not going to be that short, being realistically and seeing Khan, how he operates. But it needs to be short, because what's going to end up happening is you got a quarterback that after a few years of going through this kind of stuff, he could recover and rebound, or he couldn't recover and rebound because the development's not there. Oh, well, he doesn't have any receivers. Okay. So you need to go fix that. They don't, you know, they just – it's frustrating because you see, you know, we're just fans. You know, we're just fans, and then the media, and everyone sees it, and everybody's saying the same thing, but the team – doesn't seem to, in their eyes, they think it's different. They can do things different, but it's still not working. We're still a laughing stock.
So the two coaches that that I saw just looking at Twitter, that's a good catch. I didn't even know this, but Virginia Tech is hiring our tight ends coach as their offensive coordinator, and our defensive line coach may be going to Florida under their new head coach. That's interesting, right?
Yeah, I think the defensive line coach, and I'm not sure of his name, but I'd have to look that up just because I'm tired.
It's like Tosh. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Lupoi, is that how you say it? Tosh Lupoi.
Yeah, I think that's right. Good for them. Go get college jobs. Get away from here. You're already seeing, you know, the buses, the wheels are falling off the bus. Get out of here, and maybe we can, after Herb's talks, you know, gives us another speech of we got to get top-notch coaches in here and get quality, you know, gives us another one of those speeches. Maybe we'll find a assistant coach that can tell them to, you know, shut up and get some good players.
The biggest thing about all of this is that, you know, and a couple of Jacks fans have pointed it out on Twitter, is that his motto was own it.
That's true.
He hasn't owned anything.
Yeah, that's true.
He hasn't owned anything.
That does look ridiculous in retrospect, doesn't it?
It looks so ridiculous, and it's just like, dude, you're the head coach. What do you do? Like, on the sidelines, you're disinterested. You know, when you have no idea who's going in, who's going what. Trevor Lawrence doesn't even have a quarterback's coach right now. He has a passing game coordinator and an offensive coordinator. He doesn't have someone dedicated exactly to him. And as far as a running back's coach or like a receiver's coach or anything else like that, I think, you know, the packages and things like that are what you know, kind of develop and, you know, set the depth chart and those things like that. But those all go through the head coach.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Like, there's no way that he's releasing this depth chart out or knowing these things about players without knowing and having an individual meeting with the running backs coach. If he wants to run this team like a CEO, quote unquote, that he's saying, he's got to have individual meetings with these, you know, these position groups to know what's going on and, you know, how, you know, and performance and all these other things. He has to know. There's no way he doesn't know. No way. And I mean, this is the NFL, bro. Like, no one, and I've said it over and over again, like, talk about Ohio State, you talk about Florida, you talk about Utah. This is not one of these things where people are going to just take the answers that you're giving and just run with them. They're going to find out, and people are going to, it's people's jobs to report on this team nationally. It's people's jobs to figure out what is going on. And you got yourself under a microscope 24/7, not only by like the local reporters that and the radio and things like that, and people that have, you know, credentials, they're going to ask you the cupcake questions. You get a player that's going to speak up and he's going to really expose you. And then you got the fans that are really going to expose you. And then you got the people like Mia O'Brien. You got a couple other reporters that are not scared to ask the difficult questions. And you keep tap dancing around the difficult questions. Eventually, the shoes are going to come off and you're going to get exposed. And that's what happened this week.
Yeah. And Con, then that's when you have that kind of stupidity and you bring him back for year two, you have a lot of people tap dancing around that phone call that when people ask if you're going to renew them those season tickets or not.
Bro, if you bring him back year two, the only person right now that I believe that has to, Bevel and Balky have got to go. You have got to get someone.
Nope, don't forget about that wide receivers coach too. He can go too.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Well, yeah, Sanjay Lau.
Yeah, whatever his name is. Balky's got to go.
Sanjay Lau, yeah, he can go too.
Balky's got to go because he's a part of the suck. You know, he was a part of the entire tradition. He was a part of everything that happened. You know, a part of the losing. The stench is still here. He has got to go strictly because of that reason, and because they also need to get someone who is in tune with, you know, the younger player, in tune with. I think that was one of the things that Urban said, that he was going to make it great to be a player here and like all this other stuff and everything. And, you know, the way that he's been acting and the way that he's been running this team hasn't been very well for the player first culture. You got to get someone, you know, like Balky, or excuse me, someone unlike Balky that is going to put the best players on the field, and you're going to draft people and draft somebody who's going to be an instant difference maker. You got players right now that you drafted hurt. Walker Little can't contribute. Andre Sisco, I don't know if he can contribute or how he can contribute. We don't know, but he's coming off of ACL. You've got Jay Tufulele. We haven't seen too much of him at all. You know what I mean? So it's just like you got these players and these people that we're drafting that you're not developing. Like, very few NFL players come in as superstars, and most of the NFL players and the talent are actually here, and they're grown, they're drafted, and they're grown, and they're cultivated into superstars. That's what happened with Ngakoue. Say what you want about Fournette, you know, he's still toting the rock and still being some type of productive. You know, we want to bring Allen Robinson back. Imagine if we had Allen Robinson still here. Imagine if we had Fournette still here. Imagine if we had Ngakoue still here. Imagine if we had Jalen Ramsey still here. Imagine if we had the dude, the guy that went from he was on our practice squad. He was a linebacker and he went to Denver and he became an instant starter in Denver. What is his name?
Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, him.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Bro, I mean, come on, dude. You don't draft a Bobby Wagner. You draft a Bobby Wagner for what he has done, and you keep him. You cultivate him. You build him up.
Who's the Packers receiver, too?
Lazard.
Yeah.
Lazard.
Somebody got on us about him.
Keelan Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Keelan Cole. I don't want to say mediocre players, but these are players who could have been here and could have had a nucleus built around them. And you know who won on Sunday? Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, right.
Say what you want.
Well, if they get rid of Balky, the trend is that they'll replace him with like Balky's assistant or something. Right. You know what I mean? That's kind of how it's going.
They need to everybody from the GM to their admins to their gophers. Okay, go for this, go for that. They need to go. Everybody up there needs to go, and they need to start over. Okay, get a real NFL guy that knows his stuff pay him double. Okay, whatever his asking price is, if it's five, give him 10. Okay, and get him in here.
I mean, it's coming out right now, man, that, I mean, Urban's salary hasn't been, you know, it's not public knowledge, but, you know, he's up there in between that $10 to $12 million range. Is Shad too cheap to let that go?
I don't know. Is he too cheap?
If he was hands-on, if he was a hands-on owner and just saw, I mean, the Panthers let Joe Brady go the first year.
I think that had more to do with Cammy Cakes. To be honest, that and the fact that maybe him and the head coach didn't see eye to eye, but that's actually a good
thing. Joe Brady was the head. Oh, so you mean Cam and Joe Brady?
Yeah, I think Cam and Joe Brady weren't vibing, and then maybe, you know, Brady went back, and this, none of this is public, so, you know, who knows what it could be, but it's just the first 4 weeks of the season, Joe Brady made Sam Darnold look like a Pro Bowler before Christian McCaffrey got hurt. And then all of a sudden the wheels fall off the bus. They bring in Cam, and then 2 games later, their OC is fired, and they've actually won 5 games and shown that they can move the ball on offense earlier in the season. To me, that's more of a, him and the head coach had a philosophical difference, and so it's time for him to go. I think that, you know, to be honest, that kind of – I wish that would happen here, because, you know, there's some philosophical differences on offense with us. So it just doesn't make – it just – like, the whole situation just does not make any kind of sense. You can't make any sense of this.
I'm prepared to say it in the group – well, I said it in the group chat, but I'm prepared to say it now and put it out there. But I think that this is – I don't think he's the worst coach – in Jaguars history, but I think this is the worst coaching job in Jaguars history.
Yeah.
I believe this is the worst coaching job. There's a difference between being the worst coach and the worst coaching job. I believe that he's doing a, you know, ungodly, terrible job of being a coach and being a leader within the NFL and putting on this front about not knowing what's going on. And it's so crazy, because it's like, you go from Doug, who will tell you what is going on and will tell you that this is why we made this, this is what happened. And I respected Doug so much for going up there, getting up there and taking those live bullets when it happened. And now we got somebody who doesn't know anything that's going on, who claims to not know what's going on, but we all see what's going on. I just want the medium. I want the Belichick. I want somebody in the middle.
Yeah. What do you think Shad Khan thinks, by the way, sitting in the stadium, or just, you know, sitting at home with all this going on? I mean, that guy's got to be bummed out.
He worried about something else, which we'll mention off recording. He worried about something else to do with everything, all the projects going on that he's trying to do. That's all he's worried about.
I mean, they're spending money on these name wrestlers for that AEW stuff. Anyway, it's so frustrating. And again, we say this all the time that it feels like this is just a constant, you know, every episode is like this, but man, you go from the optimism and training camp and leading up to the season, and then you just slowly get your life eaten away. So Jags and Titans, Jags 2-10, Titans 8-4. Obviously they're first place in the AFC South. Similar to the Rams, they're coming off of a losing streak, so I don't know if we're going to be the team to help them rebound just like we were with LA. But one stat I saw that was interesting, the last win that we've had in Tennessee was in 2013 when Gus Bradley was coach. That is wild. That's wild. So long.
You know, when I think about some of the streaks and stats that we have, there's a movie, Major League. You remember that movie, Charlie Sheen, the baseball movie? Remember, I think Bob Uecker, whatever his name is, the announcer, he would name these most random stats Like the Indians bat 275 on a Wednesday when we're serving hot dogs and there's a cloud in the sky. Like that's what I think about with the Jags. You know, no. Jags are 1-0 on a Sunday in the second week of December for the last 5 years. Like that's like you know just these like everybody's starting to come out with these random nitpicky things on just how bad we've been as a franchise and as a ball club. So that's why I just want them to hire a GM that's a football guy, okay, and not a football guy like Tom Coughlin that's also a drill sergeant. We don't need a drill sergeant. I hate to say it, but with the youth movement we have now, old school drill sergeants aren't going to work. They're going to rebel against them. We've already seen that. You got to get a football guy that's a player's guy, that's going to understand how to get the team and the ball club with the winner's attitude and in the right direction.
Yeah, and keep these people. Keep the good players. Just keep them. Yeah. That's all. Just keep them. You know what I mean?
But just – and have a sense of what you're trying to do as a ball club and an identity. What JK3 talked about with the Rams Stadium out there. You know, yeah, we talked some of the Hollywood stuff and the musical talent. You know, obviously we don't have that here in Jax. But it's an identity. It's an identity. It's who we are. It's who we are as a team, as a fan base. We don't have that. We have Duval, we have the dog park, and we have the damn swimming pools. Okay.
I wish they hired somebody. I wish they the dog park is gone, by the way, I think.
Okay. No. I don't the dog park's not gone.
I think they it is. No, it's gone. 100%.
What do you mean gone? I remember seeing it not even that long ago.
You see the sign, but the dog's not actually there anymore. Yeah, the dog.
Really? What's the point of that then?
I don't know. But
it's just so dumb. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
They need to hire, they need to really bring in someone that can help create a culture. And the Jaguars, the only way they win this and the only way they change this culture isn't about you don't build Lot J and everything else like that around it, because no one is going to come downtown because of a losing product. You have to build it from in out. You have to build it on the field. You have to bring in some people that want to, you know, build it on the field. You got to bring in some young minds. You got to bring in somebody that knows what they're doing and how to build these things and play to these players' strengths. And then you build it from the outside. The fans get in, and then, you know, Duval becomes an actual identity. It's not just, you know, teal hot dog buns and those gimmicky things and stuff like that, like the Bud Zone and like all this other stuff. You have to build a team that actually has an identity, and you build that up by making a strong football team. And then on top of that, building it out. You build Lot J, everything else like that would come. Like, you put a winning football team on this field, Shad, you will get whatever you want. Literally. If you can just take, and I think the thing and the worst thing about it is that he's being hands-on to Fulham and, you know, a couple other things. And I could just be speculating on how hands-on he is with other teams. But if he was hands-on with this market and hands-on with his football team as much as he was with any of his other businesses, things like that, he would get the results that he has inside of, you know, the building. And then he would be able to get whatever the hell that he wants. And I really thought, and I think I heard it on the Sports Den, like with Denny Thompson, I thought that it was a brilliant idea. And I don't know how legal this is or whatever, but if the city of Jacksonville said that, okay, you want to put your marina, you want to put your Four Seasons and everything else like that, give us 4 years with 10 straight wins.
You know what's funny about that? I think you proposed that actually when we did an interview, like before the season with somebody.
I heard it. So we talked about it with Nate. With Nate Monroe or something. We talked about it with somebody, but I mentioned it with him also that Nate. I had heard it from Denny.
Oh, okay.
And you know, sorry. Give them their props and their credit and everything for that. But no, like literally, if the city of Jacksonville or if anybody else wants that, you give me a winning, like give me a competitive football team. Give me something, you know, to where some type of result has to be held and some type of measuring stick has to be held by the Jacksonville Jaguars, you know? Yeah, and, yeah. you know, some type of measuring stick. And then a lot of people are saying that he's like, okay, well, you know, St. Louis, for example, they're thirsty for a football team. Or I don't know if there's another market in the NFL that, you know, would love that's big enough for a football team. Or he could say, you know, I'll take the Jaguars, you know, somewhere else. And, you know, I think that's what's really, you know, kind of keeping him here. And nobody, of course, nobody wants to lose Jags or anything else like that. And a lot of speculation about him taking him to London, et cetera. But there has to be some type of measuring stick for the football operations side. And there isn't. Yeah.
And another thing, too, for the ones that want, you know, you hear not they're not real rumblings, but fans wishing that Khan would sell the team. No. Because yeah, I can tell you right now, if he sells the team, they're as good is gone.
Yeah, you don't want to sell.
I'll predict that. I'll put my money where my mouth is with that. If he sells the team, they're as good as gone.
They're going to St. Louis.
And St. Louis wants a team bad. Okay, they were just in the news for the finishing up the Rams stuff because the owner didn't pay all the money. They still want a team. Businesses are very upset about that. You need him here. Lot J, Riverbank, whatever you want to call it, whatever project needs to be completed if you want to keep this team. Because if none of this happens, they're as good as gone if he sells that team or none of this stuff gets done. End of story.
Yeah, so we're critical, but not too critical. We still like you.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong, bro. I mean, come on. I just flew cross country to watch them get waxed.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And there are other people that have the same sentiment for the Jacksonville Jaguars as we do. Maybe some even more stronger than I do.
Sure.
All I want is a competent team, competent leadership, and competent, you know, play on the field. I should not be watching Carlos Hyde receive more carries than James Robinson.
Right.
I should not be seeing that. I should not be seeing Andrew Wingard dive at Cooper Kupp and get left in the dust. I shouldn't see that. You know, I shouldn't see, you know, Tyson Campbell. Granted, he's come on the last couple of weeks or anything, or, you know, everything else like that, but he can't help where he was drafted. Everyone knows that they should have took, you know, Asante Samuel or anybody else at that opportunity that they had to. I don't know if Asante Samuel was there, so don't quote me on that. But there were some other players that could have been taken in that second round. Do your due diligence on CJ Henderson. Another player that's gone.
Gosh, when you start saying this stuff out loud, it's like so bad.
Do whatever you got to take. Do whatever you got to do to keep Jalen Ramsey. Here, do whatever you have to do. Do whatever you have to do to pay Yannick Ngakoue. I mean, dude, it's simple. The only player that, you know, that's gone that they probably should have let go, you know, and didn't really have a choice in, no one knows what was up. Well, we know what was up with Telvin, but, you know, Telvin's the only pass that they really get on this team. Allen Robinson still should be a Jacksonville Jaguar, but you chose to pay Marquise Lee.
Where's he at nowadays?
I don't think he's with a team at all.
Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, like there's just things that this team has done, drafting a tight end, you know, identifying the tight end as a need. I just don't understand what they're looking at and how they're trying to find value. And it's like they have, and a lot of people say they've got the second moat, they've got all this cap room and blah, blah, blah. They're not going to pay anyone because no one's going to want to come here.
Right.
The New England Patriots in the offseason, they got two of the highest paid tight ends without a quarterback. They didn't know who they were going to be. They didn't know who was going to be throwing the ball. They didn't know if it was going to be Cam. They didn't know if it was going to be somebody they were going to draft. And it ends up being Mac Jones. And look where they are right now. They're leading the AFC with a rookie quarterback and a competent coach.
Yeah, that does show that you can turn the ship around relatively quickly. I know it's
Belichick, turned the ship around still. in one year. Brady left. It took him 1 year to figure out what he needed to do. He tried to see what he needed to do with Cam. That was just a placeholder and what he did was, I'm going to rewrite. I'm going to go back to the formula. What I did with Hernandez and Gronk, I'm going to bring in two reliable tight ends. I'm going to build off the running game. And then we're going to have someone, you know, we're going to have a quarterback. I'm going to get someone that I can mold and get him to throw it where I need to throw it, dink and dunk. You can say what you want about Mac Jones, dinking and dunking and not throwing the ball over 20 yards or anything else like that. He's got a hell of a lot more wins than a lot of other teams have right now.
Yeah, we'll take that. Okay, so Jags and Titans. Derek, just to sort of jump into that briefly because we are running a little long. I mean, is there hope that we pull out a miraculous victory, or is this going to be kind of more of the same and helping the Titans rebound a little bit?
Hell no, we're going to get our ass whooped.
That's quote of the year. There you go. Good job. It's so sad, isn't it? Do you remember when we used to have little fun discussions where you'd try to like justify it and it'd be somewhat playful, and now it's just like, nah, they're not going to win, actually. That's it. That's the whole conversation.
You can't justify this jump. Not this product they're putting out there on the field, trying to justify some craziness. Man, come on. You can't do that. You just can't. This is sad because I'm sitting here as a fan wanting to, you know, cheer my team on and be optimistic that they could, you know, pull out a victory and find a way. But how? Okay, how? Whether if it's you got guys running wrong routes, communication, sub packages, all the things that aren't supposed to be shown in a football game by a professional football team are being shown. It's all the little things are all off. They can't figure it out. And you've got a team that's 8-4, that's well put together. They're beat before the clock even starts. Because the Tennessee Titans are a well-functioning oiled machine. They know what they need to do. They know Derrick Henry's out. Okay. He might not come back for the rest of the year. He might, you know, who knows? But he ain't gonna play on Sunday. So they have a plan in place on what they're gonna do to attack and how they're gonna play. They formed a new identity. It's a temporary identity, but it's an identity. We don't have an identity. Our identity is Trevor's going to go about 14 for 35 for 140 yards, maybe a touchdown, a pick late when he's trying to force it. Robinson will get about 8 carries for 30 yards. Carlos Hyde will get about 12 carries for 40 yards, maybe 20 yards, and a touchdown. That's what it's gonna look like, you know.
Very exciting.
Yeah, so it's not even pedestrian. It's just dang near, like, if it's just dang near insulting. Good night, man.
So 2-11 will be the record.
2-11, yeah. 2-1-1.
Great. 2-1-1. Okay, JK3. I mean, you're pretty much concurring, I would think.
Man, if James Robinson doesn't get the ball after this more than, you know, more his fair share of carries, and I hope, you know, what I hope doesn't happen is I hope they don't give this man like 45 carries and like, and the fans like, oh, you wanted him, you know. I hope they don't run him ragged, you know what I mean? But I think that Tennessee right now is, you know, they're I think this is going to be an opportunity for them to solidify themselves in the AFC South, you know, kind of really start building that momentum, you know, going into the playoffs and going into the tournament. You know, this is a tune-up, not necessarily a tune-up game, but they're going to put some things out there. They're going to try a couple of different things and, you know, really just kind of see how this works for them. I think that Tennessee, you know, the way that they approach this game right now is we're going to try a couple of experimental things out before we go into the playoffs. And see what works. We'll make the adjustments at half if things aren't working and go back to the smash mouth football that we play that they haven't stopped, you know, here since 2013. And, you know, we can go from there. You know, the Jags, they got a lot of stuff, you know, and I think I read a quote that Urban Meyer said that he wants to kind of see what the young guys have got. And to me, I feel like that's throwing in the towel right now. He wants to see what the young guys have got, see what kind of foundation and things that he can build off of. And some of these guys should have been playing live bullet or getting live shots, you know, earlier in the year. Who wants to go out there right now at the end of the year and, you know, take a risk of injury when there's nothing left to really play for? You know, if I'm Andre Cisco, you want me to go out there now? Like, we got four games left and we're six games out of the lead right now. And from winning the AFC South. Like, what am I out here to play for? Am I here to put some things out here on tape to show what? You know, like, what am I here for? If I'm Walker Little, you know, what I mean, he's not even ready to play. So, like, what do you want to see?
Right. Why is Urban even commenting on that? I mean, you know, he doesn't micromanage that sort of thing, right?
It's insane.
That's so funny you brought up the own it piece, because I just completely forgot about that, and it's so hypocritical as to how he's approached this. So
we're gonna own it and bring in a championship staff and work hard and we're really gonna own the process, own the process of losing.
Meanwhile, two coaches are going to college before the season even ends. That's not a good sign, I don't think.
Bro,
I think
before the season even ends, like, you've been in your
world. You're gonna stay on.
They're still going.
they're like, this, they're actually this actually sucks. We're gonna go to
doesn't matter. Team. Like, yeah, I mean, they're still going. I mean, whether they leave now or at the end of the season, they're still going to go. And I don't know, man. I just feel like I thought that, and I'll admit, man, I thought that the Urban Meyer, I thought that the hire was going to be, you know, decent. I didn't expect, you know, playoffs in the first year or anything else like that. But I didn't also expect a coach that didn't know or doesn't know what's going on. You know, yeah. I didn't expect somebody, I expected to see a lot more fireworks on the field. And granted, you could have probably got that. But you know what? Honestly, ETN being hurt right now, like, I guarantee you, if ETN was not hurt, he would be receiving more carries than James Robinson, and we would still be having the same conversation about James Robinson, because ETN was Urban's draft pick. I don't know what plans that they had in place for ETN. A lot of people are trying to say that Agnew, and you know what Agnew had done, was what we expected to see from ETN. I don't believe that. So, I mean, this is a different part of depression of being a Jags fan. It's like, you got a coach that doesn't know, or that's saying that he doesn't know what he wants to do, or saying that he has no idea about personnel and stuff. And then, you know, you got your running back out here saying, yeah, I got benched because I fumbled the ball because a man ate my lunch on that play.
Because our offensive line couldn't, you know, didn't even attempt to block.
They attempted. You just can't. They attempted. There's just nothing they could have done.
I can't wait till we do the off-season episode on personnel, because we're not going to talk about which players need to go. It's going to be mentioned in waves which players need to go.
And another thing too, I can tell you this culture isn't right. Sorry to get on my soapbox. But when Jalen recovered that fumble and Trevor made the tackle, and he took Trevor's head and slammed it into the ground in front of Norwell, in front of all these other offensive linemen, and no one did a single thing about that. No one. One person did a thing about it.
Arguments about, you know, Trevor rolled up, you know, rolled his knee and rolled his leg, did the whole, the alligator roll on him. So that's why he did that. Knowing good and well, Jalen, the fake thug from the private school in Tennessee that he is, tries to muscle our quarterback, but yet and still our offensive line does nothing to defend our QB. Just shows the lack of continuity our team has, and it starts with the coach.
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll leave it there. Hopefully, everybody will be with us in spirit watching on TV so we can try to, you know, at least maybe write about this on Twitter a little bit during the game. I will say one of the things that is fun is even during the losing streak, you can at least get some comedy out of following the tweets on Twitter and everybody's reactions. As depressing as it is, Jaguars fans at least have a sense of humor, so that's good. But anyway, appreciate you guys for listening. Again, follow us on Apple Podcasts. If you're not already, hit the little plus symbol at the top right. Please leave us a rating and review. It certainly helps us get some more exposure. We're also on Google Podcasts and Spotify, and we're part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.